Buenos dias. Welcome to the People Power Everything podcast. I am your host, John Dallas, and I believe that there is power in the masses. The goal of this podcast is to talk about that power, how we can help it manifest itself for all of us, and some lessons I've learned along the way. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's podcast about relationships. It's the second time in a couple of months I've written about relationships. I wrote another article called Relationships Rule and put it out there about 6 weeks ago, I believe. And I believe it even more now. As friends and former colleagues, and if we're keeping in touch, we're definitely friends. As they text me, write me, call me about everything going on, people changing roles at work, personal developments, and not least a spate of layoffs that are freaking a lot of people out. I try to be supportive, and I love to keep in touch. Over the years, I've built long-lasting relationships. I really enjoy hearing about how people are doing, what's going on in their lives, good and bad, as well as getting their opinions and views on all sorts of things going on in the world. And since it's important for me to challenge my views, I want to learn, I actually love to learn, and adapt. This is one of the ways I like to use social media. Though I'm not saying I'm immune to the social media trap, and I'll put a link in the show notes about that. There's a really interesting study in that link. But over the years, social media has been a really big help in keeping in touch with people I would not have otherwise. I had a childhood friend who moved to Montreal when we were, I'll say 13 or 14, and I caught up with him 20 years later, maybe not 20, maybe more like 15. And we still keep in touch. And without social media, we would never have, I don't think. It would have been a lot more difficult anyways. And after writing a few of these articles on LinkedIn and posting them, LinkedIn, Medium, other places, and I'm really happy to see the wide range of people who read, comment, and react to my articles. There are often people from my career, from academia, school, friends, and new contacts. Over time, I've built a network of contacts that gives me so many perspectives and underlines the diversity one can have around them for all sorts of different reasons. Thanks for your input and sharing to all who do. I really appreciate it. I also really like keeping in close contact with people that I know won't hesitate to disagree in good faith. My first experience was this, that I realized that I was more than okay debating contentious issues with people, was when I worked at McDonald's as a teenager. It was a great experience. Most of the time where we got to work with people from other age groups, when you're a kid, that's like 3 or 4 years away, from different high schools, colleges, universities, full-time people who had their own set of diverse backgrounds. But there was one guy I worked with named Martin. And he had opinions about Quebec independence at the time. At least that's the way I remember it. Maybe he can correct me. But we had some really good discussions, which I don't recall at all. But I do remember how I felt afterwards. I believe it was Maya Angelou who said, "I've learned that people will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel." And I really believe it. I was and still remain really impressed with our ability at the time to stay friendly, even though we didn't agree on something that could be very core to people's values. We were talking about politics and we stayed friendly. Oh my God, how does that happen? But there's something there for many to learn. We were basically kids at the time and we could do it. So what the fuck is wrong with all the adults who can't today? Sorry for the swearing, but it's one I'm passionate about. It's really disappointing. But I haven't lost faith. I'll continue to argue and challenge in the hope that my friends are open and able to disagree and still crack a beer at the end of the day. It also reminds me of my work experience with an amazing senior project manager with whom I worked on some really big projects. We didn't always agree on everything, but we had a mutual commitment to debate, review, and come to a conclusion that we would both follow up on to the best of our ability, even when we really didn't agree. The important part is that we agreed to pursue the larger common goals together. We knew that our arguments were for the best. We were challenging each other to be better and to see new perspectives. We would question each other all the time. But our core values were the same. We wanted to get the project done in a way that was good for the people in the company and achieved the goals we set out to achieve. We had some great success, and I will hold that work relationship up to any others I have as an example. Sophie, if you recognize yourself, which I hope you do, you're awesome, and I loved working with you. These days, colleagues and I have been rebuilding a team that has, at its very core, an open culture where people always do their best to help out. They're amazing. They are there for the team. The concept of challenging superiors or experts, still in the learning stage. Some are really good at it, but I'm not sure of everyone. Maybe they just haven't had the opportunity or simply agree and don't think there's any value in speaking out because, yeah, I agree is something that, cool, I know about it, but it doesn't really challenge. So I want to figure out a way to better test that, better test if they're willing and able. But so far, my only strategies are to say nothing and wait, which works sometimes, or start saying really outlandish things, which I do sometimes, like outlandish. It's more outlandish. Neither is very proactive, but I'll keep trying to figure out ways and see if something sticks. Just because I have a semi-fancy title doesn't mean I know the answers. Generally speaking, I'm not the authoritative source of truth in many areas. On the contrary, I try to live up to Steve Jobs' quote, "It doesn't make sense to hire smart people and then tell them what to do. We hire smart people so they can tell us what to do." In the same way, I expect a certain level of autonomy and trust in my job as a director. I also want to empower my people to do the same and to be amazing leaders and followers who know how to be active, independent, and critical thinkers. And if anyone on my team is listening to this, feel free to debate, argue, suggest, and feedback anytime. I'm open to it. Obviously, we do it respectfully. We do it at the right time and place. But feel free to challenge it. Just because my name has director next to it doesn't mean I know all the answers. I know this. And I want to have people around me that know this and who are able to challenge and bring us different perspectives and get us further. Just a little 5 minutes, not even, from an academic perspective, because I like to sprinkle it into my writing and podcast. The quality of our relationships, they have far-reaching consequences. For example, there was a quote from a study by Howell and Shamir from 2005 that says, "Followers who share a charismatic relationship with a leader are willing to transcend self-interests for the sake of the collective, the team, or the organization, to engage in self-sacrifice in the interest of the mission, to identify with the vision articulated by the leader, to show strong emotional attachment to the leader, to internalize the leader's values and goals, and to demonstrate strong personal or moral, as opposed to calculative, commitment to those values or goals." Whew. Translate that to lay speak. People with good relationships between their leaders and followers will do more for the team. They'll identify more with common goals, and they'll be committed to doing great things together. Now, if that isn't a clear signal that relationships matter, you'll really have to tell me how I could make it more clear. These close connections also drive intrinsic motivation. If you've listened to me for a while, you'll hear me talk about it. It drives intrinsic motivation through basic psychological needs, which are autonomy, competence, and relatedness. I'll put some links in the show notes. But specifically relatedness, which is defined as a sense of belonging and connection by Ryan and DC in 2020. So updated pretty recently. But that says people feel connected to those around them, that they'll be more intrinsically motivated, meaning they'll do stuff for the pure pleasure of doing it because it comes from inside them. They don't feel like somebody's hitting them over the head to get things done, which all leads to productivity, retention, and most important, a sense of well-being. Our work environments are part of our environment. A lot of hours a week. So we may as well have a sense of well-being in them. And if you're a leader or a follower, if you're part of a team, if you're a boss, take this to heart. You want your people to be intrinsically motivated. You want them to be comfortable. You want them to trust. You want them to feel like they're part of the team. So build that relationship. It's important. It does take time, but it's absolutely worth the effort. So after all that, I would love for you to remember one thing. Building and maintaining relationships is important. Take the time to be with people. You will not regret it. Because after all, people power everything. Thank you for listening this week. I hope you enjoyed that. If you have any feedback, flip me an email to john@peoplepowereverything.com or read my other articles, like them, listen to some more podcasts, give me some feedback. I would love to hear from you. Have a great day and week ahead. Talk to you soon.